Thank you, Dwight, and thank all of you for being here tonight. And we appreciate very much your being here. And if you're visiting with us, we sincerely thank you for coming and hope that you will come again. You know, someone asked me one time, they said, what would you say if you could just kind of give a capsule answer to the question, what does God want me to do? What would you say? Well, that might be a little bit hard to do that in terms of the New Testament, but I think I could do that in terms of the Old Testament. And I think by principle, you could do the same thing in the New. You know, an old farmer one time asked why he had never married, explained it in this way. He says, well, I'd rather go through life wanting something I didn't have than having something I didn't want. You know, I have never, ever gone through life not wanting a relationship with God. Because I'm going to tell you something, the thing that really matters in life, and I know that all of us understand this tonight, the only thing that really matters in life, when you come to the end of the way, and not only when you come to the end of the way, but where you are tonight in your walk, is if you have a relationship with Christ. And I mean a real relationship with God. Not something superfluous, but something that is genuine. Now, I said I could do that in the Old Testament. So if you brought your Bible tonight, I'm going to ask you to turn to the little book over in the Old Testament near the end of the Old Testament. It's a book called Micah. And in the book of Micah, chapter 6, beginning in verse 8, the prophet said, he hath showed thee, that is God, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? And then he mentions three things, and I think it really is a capsule of all that God says. He says, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now you remember that those three things were prefaced by that question, what does the Lord require of thee? To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. There are three graces, I think, that he mentions there. And you know, when you read the New Testament, you understand that there was a superfluity of unrighteousness among the Pharisees. And in the book of Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you pay tithe and mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Now think about this. He deals with the same issues that the prophet had dealt with over in the sixth chapter of the book of Micah. He says, you've gone through all of these rituals. He says, you've done a lot of things. You've tithe of mint and anise and cumin. He says, but you've omitted the weightier matters of the law. And then he deals with those. He said, judgment, mercy, and faith. Now, essentially, Christ is saying the same thing. He says, these you ought to have done and not left the other undone. So I want to talk about those three things tonight and help us understand them more fully. I will tell you that the first thing that God requires here is to do justly. Well, what does he mean by doing justly? I think that all of us, maybe in our own way, have in our mind maybe a caricature, if you will, of a just individual. And when you talk about just people, you talk about people that are fair. You remember it was the wife of Pilate who said to Pilate of Jesus, you should not have anything to do with this just man. Now, she must have perceived that Christ was a just individual. We always talk about the justness of God as well as the justice of God. God is just in his dealings with mankind. And so it certainly isn't unreasonable for him to expect the same thing of us. If you could give a definition maybe for the word just, you could just simply say that it really means to be fair. Many times you hear children say of one another, maybe they're playing a game or whatever, and they might say one to another, you're not playing fair. They may not say, you're not being just. We do that as adults sometimes, but kids say one another, well, you know, you're just not playing fair. But how many times in our life do we feel that we have been untreated, or rather unfairly treated? I believe there are a lot of times we could probably say that tonight. Maybe at the workplace, maybe you weren't given a raise when everybody else was given a raise, or perhaps maybe your employer put too much on you and he wasn't being fair or she wasn't being fair. Maybe your husband expects too much of you as a wife, or that could be an opposite role as well. Maybe a husband feels that he's been unfairly treated by his mate or by his wife or by his children or perhaps by someone else in life. The book of Proverbs 10 and verse 7 says that the memory of the just is blessed or happy, and it is true. In the book of Habakkuk over in the Old Testament, close to the book of Micah chapter 2 and verse 4, the Bible says that the just shall live by faith. And Paul quoted it again in the book of Romans 1 and verse 17. Now, if you were to go to the New Testament in the book of Philippians chapter 4, after Paul had talked about the fact that we're to rely upon God for our blessings and don't be anxious in anything, he goes on to say that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now look in verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, and whatsoever things are just. So you see, he says that we are to think on those things. We are to be just in our dealings with mankind. Sometimes people are not just today. Sometimes people might tell you one thing and do another. Let's say, for instance, maybe you go down to a particular business and you decide you're going to buy a particular item, and they tell you that the cost is X amount of dollars. And when you go to pay for it and write the check, they said, oh, well, we didn't tell you about these other little charges that go along. And so they're not really being just with you. They're not really being fair. Many times on documents, people always warn you to be careful to read the fine print or the small print. I was watching television the other day and I ordered something off television. And anyway, one of the things that they said, the item was only like $9.99. And I thought, boy, that's a deal, isn't it? Said, plus shipping and handling. Well, you keep talking for a few minutes and then it is $6.95 for shipping and handling. I thought, boy, what kind of deal is this, you know? And you would say, well, someone like that is really unfair. And many times in life, people are unfair. And they are unjust. But when I think about what the Bible says about people that were just, I think about Job and Jesus, or rather God mentioned him, that he was just and upright in his conversation with the devil. He says, have you considered my servant Job? That he is just, he is upright. I think about Simeon in the book of Luke chapter 2, of whom the Bible says was a man who was just and devout. You can think about Joseph. You can think about many, many others. But that word just simply means to be fair with other people. That's exactly what it means. So what does God expect of you? He expects you to be fair with people. But then he mentions another thing. He mentions the word mercy. He mentions the word mercy. Now, you know, there really is a big difference between the word mercy and the word grace. We often say grace is the unmerited favor of God. That is receiving something we did not deserve, and that really is what grace is. But mercy means that we don't get what we do deserve. Let me see if I can explain that to you. What that really tantamount in saying is that, let's say, for instance, you're in a court of law, and you deserve a death penalty for the crime that is committed according to state law. But the judge says, I'm going to commute your death sentence to a life sentence. You are not going to get the death that you deserve. I'm going to show mercy on you. I remember hearing a story one time about a woman who went before a judge and pled in behalf of her son who had committed a heinous crime. And she went before the judge, and before the judge made the final sentence, she asked to speak, and he had her come to the bench and make her plea. And she said, Your Honor, she said, please have mercy on my son. And the judge looked steadfastly at her and said, Ma'am, your son does not deserve mercy. And then she looked at him and she said, Your Honor, if he deserved it, it would not be mercy. Now stop and think about that. You and I deserve death because of our sin and our departure from God. But God is rich in mercy. Life is hard, and without the mercy of the Almighty, where would you and I be in life tonight? In the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22 and 23, the Bible says, It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. You ever thought about it? When you get up in the morning, when you think about all the blessings of God, do you ever think about mercy? When we think about the blessings of God, we think, and Bernie rightfully prayed tonight, and thank God for the rain. We needed the rain. I was thanking him today for the sunshine because we needed that too to kind of dry out a little bit. When I think about the blessings of God, I think about clothing, I think about food, I think about shelter, I think about a happy relationship with my family, and all kinds of things. But you know what? Very few of us get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for your mercy. Thank you that I did not get what I deserved. But you are a God who is rich in mercy. You know, in the Bible, there were many people that desired a lot of things. There were servants who came to Jesus asking for healing in the bodies of their children and their servants. I think about Jairus in the Bible who came to Jesus pleading in behalf of his extremely ill daughter. Many cases in the Bible where people came to Jesus wanting different things. Blind people would come to Jesus and cry out. I think about Bartimaeus, one who was on the road, and they tried to silence him when Jesus walked by, and they cried, he cried out, and they tried to silence him, and the Bible says that he cried the much more. And he's asking to be touched by a merciful Lord. Man who had a son who was vexed came to Jesus one time and he cried out to him and he said, Have mercy on my son. You know, I've thought about that a lot. I wonder why he didn't ask for healing. Have you ever thought about it though? Maybe the man was really right on target with what he needed to be asking for. Because if God gives you mercy, accompanied with mercy are many, many other blessings. Remember the story of the 10 lepers in the book of Luke chapter 10 and how Jesus came into a community, and according to law, Old Testament law, if these people had leprosy, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean. And so Jesus didn't come near them. Now, leprosy was a very terrible, terrible disease. As many of you know, leprosy was it was a social disease as well. People didn't want to be around you if you had leprosy. Leprosy would just kind of eat away at your extremities. I mean, you would lose fingers and you'd finally lose your hand and you might just have nubs here, maybe on your feet. And so if they had leprosy, then they were to cry out to anyone who came near them because they had also what they call leper colonies. And so when Jesus came near, having heard, and I don't know exactly where their knowledge came from, but they obviously knew that he was not only a master teacher, but a master healer. And so they cried out unto Jesus, and listen to what they say. They don't say, he doesn't say, Jesus, heal us. Like a lot of people would, and we often would. But in Luke chapter 17 and verse 13, they cried out and said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Don't give us this. Maybe we deserve it. But don't give us what we deserve. Have mercy on us. And you know what Jesus said? He said, go show yourselves to the priest. He didn't tell them they were healed. He said, go show yourselves to the priest, which was a part of the law. They had to be made clean ceremonially and physically. And so anyway, they all left. And one came back. Only one. That's the reason I say very seldom do we get up in the morning and say, God, thank you for your mercy. It's not something that you normally think about every day, the mercy of God. But think about where we would be without his mercy. But only one to whom God had been merciful came back and said to Jesus, "Thank you." And Jesus turns to him and he says, "But were not 10 cleansed? Well, where are the 9? Remember the story of the publican and the Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray? The Bible says that the publican, obviously recognizing his sinful condition, is praying to God. But the Pharisee, the religious one who needed mercy just like that publican did, folks, let me tell you something. I don't care who we are tonight, whether we're a church member or a non-church member, we all need mercy. Those of us who are Christians and those of us who are not need the mercy of God. All of us. And that publican and that Pharisee went up together into the temple to pray, and I'm sure that probably going through the mind of that Pharisee was something like this. Can you believe this dude is coming up here to pray? I mean, I know what kind of fella he is. I mean, he extorts money. I mean, he does all these horrible, horrible things. I know the kind of lifestyle he lives, and here he starts thinking, and I'm such a righteous individual. And here I am in the temple, and I'll use holy tones, and I'll pray to God. And he begins to extol his virtue before God and to tell the Lord how good he is. And I thank you that I'm not like this publican over here. I fast as I ought to fast. I give as I ought to give. But you have to remember, these were the ones that Jesus said they powder their faces and to make themselves look like they've been sick for a long, long time, like they just got over a virus or the swine flu or whatever. And Jesus called them hypocrites. But the Bible says that our Lord said to this publican after he had prayed what he prayed, and what he prayed was this: "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Merciful. The very one that you would think that could care less about the mercy of God was the very one who asked for it. And he even thanked him for it. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And you know what? God showed mercy on so many, many people. The Lord was with Joseph in the Old Testament, showed mercy on him according to Genesis chapter 39. He showed mercy on thousands, according to Exodus 20 and verse 6. He showed great mercy upon Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, in the book of Luke 1. And then the story of the Good Samaritan. Oh, that's a classic, isn't it? The man had been beaten and robbed, and the priest and the Levite go down by that side of the road over there, and they have nothing to do with him. A Samaritan comes along. We call him the Good Samaritan. The Bible doesn't, but we call him that because he was good, he was charitable and kind, and he showed mercy. The whole issue, this whole story centered around a question that a man had asked. And the question was, when Jesus said that you're to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, that's the first commandment. The second is you love your neighbor as yourself. And the man says, "Hey, who's my neighbor?" Jesus says, "Let me illustrate. Let me tell you. Let me give you a little parable here." And so he starts telling the story of the Good Samaritan. And then at the end of all of it, he asks this man, he says, "Now, who do you think was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And it hit him. He said, "I've got it. It's the one that showed mercy." And he says, "You're right." And then he says, "Go and do thou likewise." Mercy. You and I are to be merciful people as well. God is a God of mercy, but we're to be merciful as well. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus taught in the book of Matthew 5 and verse 7, listen to this, one of the Beatitudes, listen to it, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And Paul in Ephesians 2 and verse 4 really sums it up by saying that the Lord is rich in mercy. And that brings us to the last point tonight. Micah not only says that we are to be merciful, that God is a merciful God, and that we are to love mercy, and that we are to do justly or be fair, but that we are to walk humbly with our God. I think one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament is the story of Enoch. And the Bible says of Enoch, of all the things the Word of God could say about Enoch, it was this one thing. That Enoch walked with God. Could you imagine getting up in the morning? I try to walk with God every day. I mean that. Now, I want you to know that's not Gary Todd. Gary Todd and I get up and walk every morning. And he's not walking with God either. But you know what? When I say that, every day in my life I try to walk with God. To try to do His will. And to think, where would God go today? And where does He want me to go today? What does He want me to do? Where do my steps take me? The walk with God is a walk of faith. 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says that we walk by faith and not by sight. It is a walk in love. And loving even the unlovable. It is a walk in compassion. Having compassion upon perhaps people that you feel deserve no compassion. You know, the real test of Christianity is trying to be kind to people that are unkind, isn't it? It is for me. Because you feel like they deserve no kindness. Because the Bible says that you reap what you sow. And sometimes we justify it by saying, well, they're just reaping what they've sown. Did you know the Bible says of the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias and Elizabeth, in Luke 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, and they were both righteous before God. Now here's the reason. He says, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord God blameless. That's why they were righteous. Walking in all the commandments of God. To walk humbly with God means that we obey the Lord out of love. It doesn't mean that, well, I feel like I have to do this, I have to do that, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. But you do it out of love. And you serve God faithfully. And I try to ask myself every day, you know, how would God handle this situation? How would He want me to handle this situation? And all things, remember, brethren, be fair. Be just in your dealings with other people. Love mercy. You know why you ought to love it? It's because God gives it to you when you deserve something else. And because He has been merciful to you, we ought to be merciful to others as well. And then we ought to walk humbly with God. And that little word before you get walking with God or in there is the word humbly. That you don't walk haughtily with God thinking yourself to be something that you're not. But you walk humbly with God. The walk of God is a walk of forgiveness just as is a walk of love. Someone said the Bible says that we must forgive to be forgiven too. We must forgive each other's faults for harmless things we do. But it is often difficult to do what is proclaimed when we are victims of an act that brings us loss or pain. Yet, it is wisdom proven true that we must all forgive, and in forgiving, learn and teach the Christian way to live. For in forgiving, we are spared the angry fires of the mind that flame emotions into hate and sins of greater kind. Colossians 3:13 says, as the Lord has forgiven you, so do you also forgive. That's pretty much the essence of Christian living, isn't it? Isn't it really? I don't really know a whole lot more I could share with you tonight about that, and that really is in capsule form what it's really all about to be a Christian. And someone asked me that not long ago. Well, what does it mean? I know I need to be baptized, and I know I need to repent and confess Christ and develop a relationship, but what I do after that? Well, you've heard that tonight. And if we do that, and we desire that, then we know that we have done what the Lord required. And he does. And I think he still requires it tonight. And so if we're as children of God and we feel like maybe that we're not measuring up by our life, maybe we're just not, we haven't been here for people, we haven't really thanked God for mercy. He is a merciful God. And we're not walking humbly with him, tonight would be a good time to just make an about face and say, hey, you know, comes time for all of us to look in the mirror. And that's what the Word of God really is. It's a mirror, according to James. And then we see ourselves. Don't forget what manner of man we are, but make the changes that need to be made. And if you're not a Christian tonight, then you can start walking with God when you really have been a recipient of his mercy and when you start understanding what it really means to be a Christian by being baptized tonight for the forgiveness of your sins. Dwight selected a song that we're going to sing, and we're going to be singing that song momentarily. But I hope that as we sing that song, it'll not just be another song that we stand up and sing together, but it'll be a time for us to reflect upon our lives as individuals. And, you know, the invitation song is somewhat traditional. I don't guess it's an absolute must that we sing one, but it does give us an opportunity in a collective audience like this to just stop and think, you know, about our lives. And I hope you'll do that tonight while we stand and while we sing.